Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Steven Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Go.
Now, keep in mind, Troy already stated that she can't read Ferengis.
Yeah, it's possible that they have the ability to block her.
Yeah, they didn't explain the whole four lobe brain thing, but she just couldn't read them. She stands up and says, "I sense deception from the Ferengi." I literally said to the TV screen, "Sit the fuck down." First of all, everyone in that room knows they're being deceptive.
Right.
You don't have to be a fucking Betazoid to know that. Second of all, fuck you. You already said you were useless, so sit down.
You've already proven you're useless twice by saying you couldn't sense anything from them. And, hey, we haven't checked out the planet yet. And everybody said a collective fuck off.
So I wanted Riker to turn around and tell her, listen, sweetheart, we know your use. Sit in the chair, cross your legs and at your back and shut the fuck up. Because that's what you're there for.
I'll give
completely
you some.
Useless.
I'll give you some Riker D later on. If you're a good girl, I'll give you
if
some.
If you're a good girl, you know. That
so,
was that was actually the 24th century's Zoloff was that Riker D. feeling a little nervous today?
So at this point, Picard says, like, you know, screw you all. Go down to the planet. You know, they probably will lose communication or whatever, and there's no way to beam back. Oh, yeah, by the way, he sends Riker out there, and Riker gets LaForge, Data, Worf, and Yar to beam down to the planet with him. Now, as they're heading to the transporter pad, Riker seems really fucking annoyed.
Understood.
He says, yeah, Data's like, we won't have any communication to the surface.
Understood. He kind of seems like he's pissed off at Data.
Yeah, and he's
like every time he gets snippy, it's with Data.
Is there a scene like that we missed that maybe, you know, Riker walked into this chick
Data
with,
stepped on his fresh Pumas or
yeah,
something?
Or, you know, he walked into this girl's suite with like a rose and Data's already getting it with that chick. Yeah. You know,
give it the LaForge thumbs up.
Don't look, Geordi's on the other side of the room with the thumbs up, you know. And you know, and he's like, what, she wanted Data's nuts?
Because I get real hard. You understand what I'm talking about?
Exactly. Fully functional. And so, and then he's like, and we won't have a way to beam back. Understood. You know, it was just like, dude, fucking relax.
Like, I don't know. It just seemed like he was trying to portray like he was tense in the episode, but just being a dick. Like, it didn't make any sense.
There's a thing of being tense and just being an asshole.
Yeah. I just wanted Data to break character. You know what, motherfucker? You've been running your mouth a little too much today.
Yeah. All right. See, I put up with your shit. Now I'm about to Kanye West your ass.
It's like, listen, no disrespect, but I'm going to slap the shit out of you. Right? I'm going to slap the taste out of your fucking mouth.
He pulls out his Android dick and like smacks Riker across the head with it.
Riker's got a fucking concussion.
And he falls on Geordi tries to catch Riker and falls with Riker, but gives Data the thumbs up. So they beam down to the surface.
The whole time he's falling in slow motion with the thumbs up.
And you're hearing woo.
I'm imagining it's not into lava, but it's like the Terminator scene where you can only see Geordi's thumb slowly sinking out of frame.
Oh my god.
This is the greatest episode ever.
Yeah, I know, the music changes to
okay.
Right. So they
you know, there's someone listening to this going, guys, it's not that funny. I know.
Like, yeah, okay, we get it. All right, just move on already. You know, there's somebody else going, I can see it.
You have to visualize it. Close your eyes. You can see it.
It'll come to you.
See it happening.
So they, I'm crying over here.
I'm sweating. I'm laughing so fucking bad.
So they beam down to the planet, and Riker ends up finding him by himself on the ground. You know, fine.
Anybody?
Oh my god! First of all, the planet looked like something out of Disneyland. Like you walked into one of their rides. You know,
it's funny. I actually thought the set looked kind of dope because I remember when I was a young child.
When I had nothing to base it off of.
I didn't know what fucking, you know, dry ice was and fog machines. I was like, wow, that looks fucking awesome. But it did look good for that era Trek.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not.
It looked better than the fucking Tasha Yar episode where they just randomly threw some junk out.
Right. But the funny thing was, is that, you know, for me, it was the. Anybody, like the I'm trying to yell but I'm trying to keep it low so the mics don't blow up kind of
anybody. Hey, you guys,
Smalls, you're killing me. You know, it was just that really bad, like I'm yelling in this like really open spot.
I'm in a sound stage,
right? I'm in a sound stage. I don't want to blow the boom mics, the boom guy's ears out, so I'm just going to do this over enunciation, but really not say it really loud.
And it didn't work because no one heard him.
Exactly. So he starts walking, and then he starts walking through these, what it says here, like crystalline trees. And he finds,
I think that's what Riker calls them or something. Yeah, like
and
that.
Then like Data's standing on top of one, looking really weird. Like he was like up there like, oh, what is this? And just like examining it. And then, you know,
yeah, like he didn't think to check where everyone was,
right?
He just instantly started looking at this crystal.
Yeah, it was like, oh, what is it? And then of course he makes another one of his nothing to write home about.
Yeah, like they really pushed the I'm trying to be human thing.
Yeah,
in the beginning,
and Riker really seemed annoyed, you know, with it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't give a fuck, dude. We gotta go find everybody.
And then he does the tapping on the shoulder and then points to like go this way. Like they did there was a lot of unnecessary,
that real condescending, like,
yeah,
here,
yeah, like, yeah, yeah, come over here because I'm about to whoop your ass. Yeah. So yeah, and then, you know, Data's uses of slang. So this one, I thought this one here definitively in my show notes definitively says that the writers of Star Trek were fucking racist and or hated LeVar Burton because of Roots. And I will explain what I mean. The only one is Geordi hanging upside down
Yeah, his foot was stuck.
His foot was stuck, but they have the black man hanging upside down.
You had a choice of either Tasha Yar hanging upside right. down or LaForge, and you went the wrong way.
I saw him and I go, oh my God, Jordy's hanging. Racist! It's racist!
I thought he was kind of funny though, because are you conscious? Right, do I look conscious?
I was expecting him to do like he did in like Encounter at Farpoint. Is that official? Is that an official sarcastic response? Like,
yeah, he looked like he officially gave up trying to get out of that spot. Like he was, his arms were dangling.
It would have been funny. Would have been hilarious if like he's hanging out there, but his arms were crossed. Like, I give up, like a pissed off kind of like, fuck this.
Are you conscious? He gives another shrug.
Oh. Or he goes and gives him the thumbs up, but it's pointing down because he's upside down. And then you have Riker going, I see what you did there.
I see what you did. Oh, Jesus Christ. So they get him down, and I think they don't even show you getting him down.
They don't get him down because the Ferengi show up, remember?
How did he get down, though?
Because they fired that energy whip thing that hit Geordi, and it knocked him down.
Riker was so dramatic. So Riker had to be hit twice.
Right.
I mean, Data fell before he did.
Yeah, well, because he was touching Geordi, and Geordi got hit, and short circuit, I guess, Data, who fell arm straight up, you know.
Like a robot.
Right. Riker falls to his knees, but holds up chest big. Chest big, because that's Riker. His chest has to be huge.
And he's kind of looking off like, I'm going to win an Emmy for this. He was writing his acceptance speech in his head. And then he gets hit a second time and he goes, ooh,
yeah.
And falls. It was so Kirk. Like, it reminded me of how Kirk acts.
And then falls flat hard on the ground.
Hey, he took that fall, though.
He did.
He didn't tumble into his arms. He was right. Bonk. Yep.
So that ended Act 3. So now we get into Act 4. So on the Enterprise, shit's getting real. One thing I forgot actually.
Oh yeah, everybody's like in danger of suffocating and freezing to death because the power is off.
The one thing that I forgot to mention was the energy whips. The one and only time we see them.
Yeah.
I actually forgot that they had those energy whips.
No, you mentioned that in the beginning.
No. I meant like when I first saw the episode.
You forgot they had the energy whips.
Fuck, I had the energy whips. I forgot about that, which look like basically hoses from vacuum cleaners.
Yeah. Which they probably were.
You
know what, though? They're actually kind of a cool weapon, but they're on such a goofy character.
Yeah, and this time we see the Ferengi. And we don't really see their size yet, but now we get into Act 4, and the Enterprise is...
Saw them, but they were so far away, we couldn't really make a comparison.
Yeah, so we find out that because all the energy is being drained, so is life support. So Picard moves all... diverts it to the family decks to extend their survival.
Right.
Fuck everybody else on any other decks. We're going to save the families. Typical cop out.
What? Understood.
So, you know, they get to this real, like, they're showing what's going on, and then they make the mention of like how cold it's going to get before they, you know.
Yeah, they say it's going to be like negative 60, and Picard's like, it feels like that now. Yeah, it's fucking cold in here, bitch. Oh, and this is the one and only time they mention Wesley, because he's not in this episode.
No, that's later.
Oh, I thought it was right now.
No, they mentioned it a little. There's like a scene or two later.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That. Yeah. So.
Understood.
Understood. And that would be funny.
I keep seeing it in my show notes.
I know. So we go back to the planet, and the Ferengi have dragged Worf and Worf over there, and everybody's out, and they start looking over, you know, whatever Riker and the team has, and they pick up his communicator and wonder whether it's gold.
Oh, by the way, this wasn't, I didn't see this in Memory Alpha. The leader of this little pack of Ferengi is, it's not Quark, but it's the same actor that plays Quark.
Yeah, I put that in my show notes. This Armin Shimmerman, who played
Quark. Acting very different.
But. Yeah, very different, but you can kind of tell by his voice. But yeah, mm-hmm. he was the one that played Quark in Deep Space Nine. So that was interesting. It's only interesting now after the fact because I know where it's going back in the day, you know.
And he's one of the greatest characters in Star Trek.
Oh yeah,
Quark, you know, because he really played the more evolved version of the Ferengi, this fucking crawling around imp like thing.
It's like an orangutan, really, the way he was moving around with those arms.
Yeah, explain that, huh? They're always hunched over and they squat all the time and they kind of move their hands weird. And
Of course, when it gets established later on, they're just short people. They stand up, they're a little hunched, but they don't do all the weird stuff that you're seeing them do here.
Well, it's funny, in another thing that actually fleshed this out, it was in one of the books and it wasn't on Memory Alpha. I was actually kind of surprised. I think it's in Memory Beta, the ones that include the books. It explains that the Ferengi used to walk like that. And then once they came to our area of space, the Federation area of space, they quickly adapted to be more like us for business deals.
Well, of course.
Yeah. That's what the book says, you know, but it was like a storybook, whatever. So who knows?
So, you know, they work up a plan because, one of the Ferengi says like, oh, how are their captains going to react when they find that we violated the truce? And then I'm going to call him Quark because that's all I know.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Quark says, like, you know, well, we'll just, you know, they're going to say that they attacked us. And who are they going to believe, you know?
I love how he talks.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, we will accuse the humans
of
attacking us first. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Shakespeare in the pack over here.
And so they're wondering if, you know, if this badge is gold. And then Riker goes, it is gold. And then they raise. Now, this is the part that kind of I was like, what the fuck just happened? They raise the whip to go after Riker. Then Riker does this really weird, I got a shit squat.
He squats down. Well, what else is he going to do?
Yeah, but what the hell is the squat going to do?
like he ducking, like, oh, shit.
Was he going to do like a Kirk roll or something like that? You know,
his shirt's ripped
across his chest out of nowhere. You see the Ferengi like, what? Why is your shirt ripped? Riker, Geordi's thumb comes up and does the thumbs up out of the dry ice cloud.
I have to mention this. So, while Riker's having this little tete-a-tete with the Ferengi, Worf opens his eyes in the most intense fucking way. He doesn't move. He just, bam, and his eyes are open. And I said, what did I put? Shit. I put Worf and Data woke up on the sneak. Because fucking Worf wakes up, and he slowly starts getting up, and then he attacks one, and then Data just sits straight up and starts to. I'm like, these motherfuckers were playing. I was like, this was so fucking cool.
And then, like, he does the typical flip them from the legs, you know? Worf does the flips the two from the legs. Data grabs Quark and raises him up. And then the one jumps on Worf, and then Riker grabs the other one, and he's like, I got this one, you know. And then Data does this like, be careful, sir, because they're a little stronger than. And then the one punches Riker down, and then he gives that weird look of like.
Data gives that little head nod like, ugh.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, Data tries to be funny, and then
it's completely obvious too, and this held. In the lore of Star Trek, the Ferengi do not know how to fight.
Oh yeah,
they're literally like clawing animals. They're just climbing on everybody and fucking. It's weird how they're fighting.
And in this time,
two of them down by the throat like a boss.
Which is funny because what was Geordi doing?
I don't know. I don't even know where he was.
I know. It's like I think he was just running around giving thumbs up to everybody. Just like, you know, when the fight started, he was like, woo, wee, just maybe, like giving double thumbs up, you know.
Maybe he started shaving again, took his visor off.
Took his sonic. He took his sonic razor and started.
Yeah, I'm just take a quick break real quick.
I'm going to go back to hang it upside down because I'm not conscious. Do I look conscious?
Someone turns and goes, the Force do something. He goes, my name is Kunta Kinte.
My name. you hear somebody in the background, it's Toby.
do you know what's really bad real quick about Roots is my mother had let me watch Roots when I was 8. I can't tell you, I think I cried the entire time. One, because it's, you know, horrible, right? Things are happening. Also, I had no fucking idea that any of this happened. I was terrified. I didn't know it was 200 years ago. I thought it was like today. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Just, you know, tragedy in my childhood. Roots. Whoopi Goldberg's kind of weird looking. Like, just stuff like that.
So, yeah. So as they fight, all of a sudden you hear this most annoying sound, and we come to find out that it's Yar.
Yar comes over the cliff.
Yeah, with her phaser drawn, and I was like, oh god, Yar just saves the day.
And this is stupid, another stupid line from Yar, and maybe it is because I'm jaded about hating Yar, but the Ferengi see her, and they see her with the phaser, and they start backing up slowly and putting their weapons down. And she goes, oh, so you've heard of phasers. It's like, bitch, you're holding it like a gun. They're not stupid. They fly spaceships. Like, they're not fucking retarded. Jesus.
It would have been funny when she's like, oh, you heard of phasers. And you hear one of them go, heard of a haircut?
It'd be funny. Oh, you heard of
phasers? Then you would have seen Jordy go with the thumbs up, like the reluctant thumbs up, because he's like, he got a point.
It's like, you heard of phasers, huh? And then a Ferengi in the background off camera says, you're still on this show?
So she intervenes with the phaser, and the thunder hits. So this is where you start seeing like the impact of loud noises against the Ferengi. They're sensitive to loud noises. But you all eventually you learn that also their ears are their erogenous zones for the Ferengi.
They didn't say that in this episode, though.
No. But you see they're sensitive to the in their ears because the light, the thunder hit and they scream.
Scream and hold their ears.
Yeah. But their ears become kind of a big deal later on in the show. But, you know, and then they notice Yar and they're like,
oh, what did they call it? The Uma.
Yeah, the Uma.
Yeah, when women would stroke their ears and they fucking practically kick their leg like a dog.
and so the Ferengi also, you get in some insight into that. It's like, oh, it's true. You work together with your females, and they even have them clothed, because in Ferengi culture, the women are always nude.
And I put in my show notes, Ferengi start making sense, sickened by human females wearing clothing. Yeah, this was a bigger issue or a bigger point in Deep Space Nine, because Ferengi culture started changing to a more Federation like.
Because they have that in, because their females still, at the beginning of DS9, they were still, I loved DS9, they were still had some of the old functions, but Quark's mother led the charge. One,
yeah.
That led the charge for them to become.
Basically women's rights movement.
Yeah, women's rights movements, wearing clothes, being part of business transactions and stuff like that.
Which Quark did not agree with. Yeah,
but Nog did. Nog did. Not actually helped. Yeah. Moogie. Moogie, that was her name.
Moogie.
So then we cut back to the Enterprise and everything's getting colder. So now we have Crusher and Picard, you know, still putting blankets on people. And
by the way, they don't have coats in the 24th century.
I thought that, like, you see everybody in like these little scantily clad, like thin
jumpsuits.
Jumpsuits. And it's like, nobody thought to bring a coat. Like, nobody has a hoodie. Like, is the entire universe
you see
well
some
temperatured
dude, you see some dude with a gorilla's hoodie on and a bat I'm good homie. He's got a Bulls jacket on, like a big puffy coat.
You know, he's got the big ski. You see somebody coming there with like a big ski coat, and
that
would come.
And they had to have noticed that in the '80s too, because at that time period, people were wearing those big ass fucking coats.
Oh yeah, I mean,
like what the fuck, these motherfuckers.
Like nobody thought to bring a jacket, is what I'm thinking. It's yeah. like fucking. It's like the Gilligan's Island. You know, it's like 3-hour tour. You have most of the cast wearing the same thing, except for. Ginger, Marianne, and the Howls.
Yeah.
Like, they brought a whole wardrobe. But Gilligan, Professor, and the Skipper all had the same shit.
I tried to rationalize this in my head. I'm like, okay, so they have replicators, and they're used to just replicating things when they need it. But the replicators are down, so they can't replicate a coat. But I'm thinking to myself, look.
But nobody ever
replicated
a coat before?
The first fucking day I set foot into that room, I would go to the replicator and make, like, a kit. You're in a fucking starship.
You're right.
You never know what's going to happen. I'd be like, let me get a coat. Let me get a week's worth of water.
You go to a planet and all planets are a cool 73 degrees, you know, cool. Hey. It never rains anywhere. You know,
it's not an Earth that we can't even be in.
So Picard mentions the absent Wesley because Wesley's not with everyone else. So in Beverly's infinite wisdom, she decided to keep him in their quarters, and she thought about giving him a sedative, but thought he should, you know, she just thought he should be awake, and she thought it was stupid. And then Picard's like, you know, no, it's not stupid. He should face death awake.
He deserves the right to face death awake.
And then
very manly.
Yeah, very you know, and harumph, 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 harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. Harumph, you watch your ass. Then Crusher goes and says, is that from a male perspective? And he looks at her, and there's that moment of bitch. And then he's like, rubbish. Yeah. And then walks off.
This is another moment that it was a funny scene. I laughed, you know, but
it seems
want him to be French or British?
I know. It's like, I know.
Which is he?
Rubbish.
Because in the same episode, he said, what was it, like, mon dieu or meh or.
Yes.
Oh shit, in French, basically.
Right, basically, yeah.
Like, Jesus, what fucking nationality is this dude?
Yeah, it was just like, I'm looking at it as like, oh, so we're falling on a male trope here? That has no real resolution and no real, like, it seemed like they were just throwing in a bunch of current tropes to just kind of
be funny,
or to fill the scene or.
But don't they do stuff like that on the first season of any show? Like, they keep trying different things.
Yeah. And it was just kind of weird. Like, I don't know. It felt out of place, but I thought about it and I thought, well, if they're freezing to death, he's going to fall asleep before he dies. So.
Yeah, but that's technically the death.
Yeah, well, I know. He's
not going to wake up.
Right. He's just going to have the urge to fall asleep. So it's not like he's going to suffocate to death. You know. But whatever. Anyway.
I think we're thinking a little too hard on, no, on the most comedic and lighthearted moment.
No, because
on the death of Wesley.
On the on the screen, as the if you notice on the screen in the background, it lights up and you see Geordi's thumb sticking up in the background.
He was thumbs up in everybody.
He was thumbs up in everybody.
He was taking a shuttlecraft to and from, just throwing thumbs up. That's another thing. Like, if you're freezing to death, there's no. No one can go into like a fucking shuttle bay and just light a fire.
Right. Yeah, I know.
There's things you can do. That's all. That's just what I'm trying to say.
You're gonna tell me that you can't come up with a little. Oh, this is steel around it. We could put wood in here and maybe light a fire.
Keeping warm is really not that difficult.
Well, I guess it's to show that because we've come so far technologically, we don't know the basic essentials of survival.
I just thought of something. They're running out of oxygen, too. You wouldn't want to light a fire.
Yeah.
Oops. I almost killed everybody quickly. But they'd have s'mores. You know,
they could have some s'mores before they had. So on the planet, they come back to the planet and they start hearing, you know, a very loud roar, and they start noticing. And then Geordi does the infamous point, like he.
He starts explaining that he finally understands what he's seeing, because with his visor he can see all the energy that's flowing around.
And I remember because the Ferengi do something, and then
Tasha tries to shoot the Ferengi.
Well, yeah, because he gives the order for her to stun them, and as she fires, they veer off and hear the crystalline trees. And they're like, the Ferengi think, oh, we've got them. They can't
use their weapons. Fucked up.
So they go and they use their laser whips. And then the beams turn around and go right to those. And that's when Geordi realizes, oh, this makes so much sense. As a power collector, he's seen all of this energy floating around. And it seems to just absorb everything. And then they start. And then, of course, Geordi does this. Like, something's happening over at this little road that kind of goes to nowhere. And then Geordi does this point. The one time he doesn't throw the thumbs up, he points, because nobody notices this big kind of cloud thing forming up on the thing. He has to point it out to everybody because the blind man sees this, and apparently nobody else does.
We learned from the second episode, he just wants to see a sunset like we do.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's true.
That ends Act 4, and then we get into the final act, where all of this is supposed to make sense. We get into Act 5. So this figure arises, basically asking who wants to join the Empire, the Token Empire.
By the way, this dude is a fucking super pimp. The way he's portrayed is he's an older man,
right?
But he's like... anytime he speaks, everyone shuts the fuck up.
Right.
Like he's the boss in the room right now.
So, this guy who calls himself the Portal is, or the guardian of the Takan Empire.
I think Data calls him a Portal.
Yeah, he calls him a Portal. And asks the away team whether they want to enter the Empire. Now, the Guardian is told by Riker and Data that the Empire doesn't exist anymore and hasn't for quite a long time. And the Portal has been asleep for a long time, hundreds of thousands of years, Earth time, but doesn't believe them. So Data goes ahead and schools the old dude.
He starts talking about the age of Mokto.
Right.
It's just like he was educated.
It's like there is no age of Mokto. Actually, there's been a few. And he, you know, because he said it was, I can't remember what the age was that he was supposed to be in now, or he thought he was.
And Bak-tool or something
like that. Yeah, a tool, whatever. A tool. Good one. The Ferengi try to strike a deal with the Portal, basically saying that the Enterprise and their crew came here because they're savages and they mistreat species that are below them, and Riker defends that by saying, hey, well, it's true, we do that sometimes. And he's like, do you want to be judged? And Riker's like, yeah, I wish to be judged. Basically Riker stands up, pulls his dick out, and throws it over his shoulder.
Yeah, because that's the main point that the Ferengi were trying to make, were that humans or the Federation withhold advanced technology from backwards worlds, as they said. And we all know the Ferengi, if you give them money, they'll fucking give it to you. They don't really care. Right. You know, and Riker was a pimp about it, though, because he just agreed. He was like, yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, we've done that. We do that. And we have reasons for doing that.
Yeah. Dick over his shoulder.
He really was.
Yeah.
He was swinging it around like that guy was swinging that axe. Yeah. <You know? laughs> He was that's
that
what
hammer
show
of
you.
Truth,
that,
motherfucker.
That's what they didn't show you. You know?
That's right.
So he basically challenges the Enterprise crew for a trial, and Riker's like, yeah, I accept it. But the thing is that he wanted to challenge Riker, and Worf was like, I want to do that. And he's like, stand down. That's an order, because that's how Worf obeys, by standing out. And of course, Yar jumps in that, you know, she, you know, it should be her. And it's like, shut up, sit down. You know, Riker turns around and goes, you're still here?
Yeah, you know? But then Worf had the first moment where you go, this motherfucker should be the one running the show.
Oh, yeah.
Worf, what does he say? He goes, "For battle, come to me."
Yeah.
All fucking. I was like, "Fuck."
And the thing was, is that the portal asks him a question. You know, oh God, what was the question? It was something that was that Picard had said in the.
You referenced the Sun Tzu's teachings.
And he called Riker by name.
And Riker was first confused that he was talking about Sun Tzu.
Right.
And then, I mean, the guy doesn't even know his own empire fell.
Right.
And then Riker was like, "How do you know my name?"
Yeah. So he was, you know, so he, the portal charges him. And it was a little weird the way they filmed it. But he's moving. I guess it's supposed to show that he's gliding. But it just, the way it was kind of filmed looked a little weird, but the Guardian is like whipping the axe around him as he's gliding towards Riker.
Actually, I believe that was more of a pole arm.
Anyway,
never mind.
He's swinging around and then swings it right and stops it right above Riker's shoulder.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Riker doesn't flinch.
Didn't even fucking blink.
And the portal was kind of impressed by that. And Riker replies, you know, Antomy and Riker's like, "Fear is the true enemy, the only enemy," quoting the book that the Guardian was referencing to.
The Art of War.
Yeah. And the portal, very impressed with Riker, suddenly changes his whole demeanor.
Well, see, this is when you kind of realize, because you remember that something had read the ship's logs,
right,
and the history and everything. Exactly. And you're starting to realize, okay, the Guardian already knew who the good people were. He just needed to do the test, you know, because he already knew the Ferengi were fucking dumbasses too.
Right. And so, you know, he wants to know more about Earth's history, that it was similar to Khan's. And then, you know, Riker asks him to, you know, release the Enterprise. And
he just looks up, "It is done."
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, and it was funny because like it was like the weird challenge, but this suddenly like an immediate bromance happened between
They were all Portal discussing philosophy.
But who doesn't want to fuck Riker? I mean, it's like, I'd let Riker fuck me. You know, that's how the portal was looking at
it. You didn't even say you would fuck Riker. You said you would let him fuck you.
Well, because
that's a big deal.
He's a dominant. I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm very submissive when Riker shows up. Jesus Christ. They portray Riker as such an alpha male.
Oh,
and I'm surprised that when he walks into a room, the women don't just get up and casually bend over a table.
It just
like, oh, Riker's here? Oh.
They immediately strip off as they're, you know.
Maybe he'll pick me today.
And so the Enterprise gets their power, of course, just in the nick of time. And everybody's at their station.
That was kind of badass.
Yeah. And then, you know, what was it?
Except for the doctor, who wasn't with anyone who needed medical attention.
Yeah, she wasn't with her kid. She's
sitting next to Picard.
Yeah. And then she does that, like, you know, when they come to, and then she leans over and, you know, is obviously feeling his pulse. But I kind of expected more from them there. Like at that moment of just like, you know, like they would have been like butt naked, curled up in his chair with like a fur blanket around them. Like, we're going to die. So let's just, you know, Let's have one last go before they die. And then when the power comes on, like, oh, okay. Get their clothes back on and go back to work.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Oh, so that was a thing.
Yeah. Let's not make a big thing out of this, but let's just say it happened.
Are you going to call me? Well, I'm real busy running the shit.
And then when Wesley comes on the bridge, he looks and goes, he leans down and goes, "I fucked your mother." And then walk off.
And Geordi
comes in with a thumbs up. You see this thumbs up come over from behind Wesley's shoulder.
No. The thumb comes out off frame. And then who's the kid?
Wesley.
Wesley. He looks over and then the camera slowly pans and it shows Geordi with his eyes closed, slowly nodding yes while he holds his thumb up. There. I just made the scene.
So the portal explains to Riker that he would have normally destroyed both ships since they were fighting, but he saw that they had curiously tried to cooperate. So obviously had some points to our, obviously the moral of the story.
The Guardian asked Riker, he points to the Ferengi and says, well, what of them? Shall I destroy them?
Right.
And then Riker says, but then they learn nothing.
Right.
Very philosophical episode towards the end.
And then the portal asks us, what if they never learn, Riker?
Based on our values, we have to face that if it happens.
Right. He basically references the humans as like, you know, well, you know, we were like that and, you know, hope to better themselves or whatever.
He took the high road, basically.
Yeah, he basically bitched out.
Yeah. He should have killed them right there.
Exactly. Fuck that shit. So it was a total social commentary on that. And so he asked, you know, the portal, what will the portal do now that the Empire is gone? And he goes, well, I'll sleep until I need it again. And suddenly he's walking around, you know, very, you know, robust and talking with Riker, seeming very cordial. And then he goes, I must walk away. And then it cuts to the guy walking away. Suddenly he's walking like a feeble old man that's holding on to his axe. Like, it's like suddenly it's the only thing keeping him from falling flat on his face.
This is another scene, too. And as I think about it, much like the Chinese finger trap, where they were trying to do something, but they didn't flesh it out enough. Right. If you remember that when they all shot their weapons, the crystals are absorbing power and then he shows up.
Right.
And then through the course of the conversation, he gets tired. It's as if they were supposed to say that it absorbs the power so he can show up. Mm. And then he was running out of power, so he had to go back to sleep.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I might be thinking too much into it, but it seems like that was a missed opportunity to make it a little bit more complicated.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. So they get back to the Enterprise. The energy converter has been returned to the Federation, and Picard congratulates the team. I don't know why he congratulates Worf and Tasha, because they really didn't do shit.
He should congratulate Worf, because Worf's a fucking badass.
Yeah. Well, congratulates
Tasha, he should have just fucking being slapped her.
And looks at Tasha and goes, you're still here?
Yeah. Have you gone yet? Didn't I fire you?
I thought I got rid of you. And then, you know, walks into Troy, and then Troy looks at him and he's like, oh, I just didn't realize you were here, and it walks around. And then,
did you have something obvious to say?
So he goes and congratulates Riker for a job well done, and then for some reason now everybody has the Chinese finger traps, because when it first happens you see Data walking on the bridge with it. He makes that stupid joke, you know, something to write home about. And then Geordi's like, makes the obvious again, Captain Obvious, something to write home about. That's very human. And you're like, shut up, dude. Just shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
Give the thumbs up and just walk away. That's all you need to do. Don't give the woo-wee, you know. And then
woo-wee.
And then he turns to Riker, and Riker has the finger traps on. And then Riker asks, you know, let's just transfer a box of these Data's finger traps over to to the Ferengi as a thank you for all they tried to do.
Yeah, it was a very sitcom-y joke, you know. Yeah. Just like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and you know, he's like, you know, and then of course Picard's like, make it so, with that little smirk on his face. And you're just like, and to me it was like, oh, is that a little throwback to the whole Trouble with Tribbles episode, when, you know, they had all the Tribbles invading the Enterprise and then Scotty got rid of them, and they're like, where are you? He goes, oh, he transported them all to the Klingon ship.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't get permission. He didn't, Scotty didn't ask permission that time, because
Scotty didn't need to ask.
Exactly. Permission. He didn't need permission. But then he's like, you know, okay, it's time to go, you know, set course. And then it cuts to that weird close-up of Geordi's fingers caught in the finger traps. And then Data, you know, takes his fingers. And it's like, oh, now Picard's not pissy?
Or like, or now, you know, the Forge ain't got those jokes now that he's trapped in the fucking thing? Yeah.
It would have been funny if his thumbs were caught in those. He couldn't get thumbs up anymore. His thumbs were all caught inside the
grip. That would have been too much. I would have fell out.
Oh, man. So
and that concludes the episode. So, you know, briefly, because it's getting late. What did you think of this episode?
It was one of those episodes that it had promise for where it was going. At the same time, it still, I think, was a little heavy-handed as far as the points they were trying to get across. A little preachy in some points. I think if you took that episode now, you would have taken out a lot of the obvious.
Yeah.
Put in more Riker with the joystick and a lot of Jordy and the thumbs up bit.
Yeah,
it would have been a lot more of a solid and episode.
Throw in a little Troy biting her bottom lip. I was just feeling Troy a little bit.
Yeah,
every time she came in a frame.
Yeah, you know that. And but I think it's a really significant when you look at it now. It seems really more of Gene Roddenberry kind of had his hands a little too much in this. And if you compare it to some of the later episodes where they were dealing with, you know, issues like this, the allegory played out more, where you had to think about a little more and it wasn't quite as preachy.
I think that's really one of the major failings of the first season, is that it's not as thought-provoking as some of the later episodes are, and doesn't make you really challenge what you think, you know, because that's what Star Trek's always done. But the first, it was just kind of a sitcom in the first season.
Yeah, well, when you look at the writing staff, you know, in the first couple of seasons, once you start getting into writing season three, then you start seeing the writers like Ronald D. Moore and Brandon Braga and Michael Piller and all of them taking control and starting to write really solid episodes. It's going to be fun to when we get into those more solid episodes, because then we're just going to be pulling random shit, like, you know, and see how those episodes turn out. But, you know, this one was fun in the aspect of, yeah, it had some cool, funny stuff in there and little moments that just kind of allowed it to just kind of be fun. But I think that's what this whole podcast is really designed to be. And if you're just first time listening to us, we're not bashing it because we hate it.
I love Star Trek.
We love it to the point of we can take those moments and just make and just enjoy them for what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't believe you have to love something and it has to be serious. No, there's humor to be found in even the best stuff.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here making fun of the episode, but when I watched it today, I was intently watching it.
Yeah, well, yeah, Adams told me, he's like, oh, now we're getting to the good stuff, you know?
Well, this is the thing on that, too, is I think, yes, this episode still has a lot of the season one tropes in it. It's not nearly the best episode of the show, but it was a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They tried to do a higher level show. They didn't quite make it, but it was much better than the episodes before it.
Yeah, I mean, when you start looking at the later season, because think about it, if you've watched Star Trek, or even if you've just started watching it, and you know, I don't think we're going to ruin the show for you. I think we're going to, I would always suggest before the episode that we're going to do, watch the episode, see your thoughts, and then, you know, put it to us. And I guess it'll change it a little bit, what you see afterwards. But it's just there. And you take like anything from season one, especially the first four, and you go to like Best of Both Worlds, Chains of Command.
Episodes that make you get misty when you watch them. Yeah. Like just crazy episodes.
Yeah. Even some of the ones where you start getting into Brandon Braga, like the one that was it was kind of awkward at some moments, but the one where everybody was like, couldn't sleep because of the dreams, and Troy was getting that little, like that consciousness kind of thing. Those are some great ones. And
I think Troy got some better roles too, because she did a good job playing, and this kind of sounds fucked up, but she did a really, when they try to make her look tough, it doesn't come off right.
Yeah.
But when they really play on the, she's helpless.
Right.
She plays that very well.
Yeah.
You know, like in that episode that you're talking about where she was basically mind raped too.
Yeah.
And another, I mean, you felt upset that she was upset. Yeah.
And then of course, you get some really good Worf episodes later on.
And Worf gets to really shine in a few episodes.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you get into some really, really great stuff. One of my brother's favorites is, though, the one where they go back to San Francisco, you know, with Mark Twain.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And they that was one of the season cliffhangers.
Yeah,
and Data's head and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And so there's a lot of good stuff in there, and a lot of that happens later on. But yeah, there's always going to be something you can laugh at. There's no movie that you can watch, even if you love a movie. I love so many movies and TV shows, but there's shit that I can just rail on because it's funny, but it doesn't make me love it any less.
Yeah.
And but that's this one was fun. Jordy with the thumbs up, I think, was probably the best one.
Woo-wee, man.
Woo-wee, yeah. Now, that might be the banner cover for this podcast on the website. Will just be the thumbs up sign. Maybe if I can find that still of him giving the thumbs up smiley, that might
be. You could get it. Just pull it up on Netflix and screenshot it.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, quick summary for next episode. So the next episode is episode 6. Where no one has gone before. This episode's kind of a big deal. One, it's a Wesley episode, which Wesley episodes are 50-50. I either really like them or they're boring.
Right.
But this one I actually enjoyed. This is also the first episode, or this is the first time they start one of Star Trek's famous for these huge acts. Like it's a 3-episode act, but they're not in succession.
Right.
So this is the arc of the Traveler. So you'll have, this is the first one. The second one's like in the third season, and yeah,
then the next one is like the fifth or seventh season.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's in. Actually, this doesn't start the first. I'm sorry, this is the second one because Encounter at Farpoint started the first arc of Q. Oh. So this one is very highbrow, I feel, yeah. And I think they reached it even more on this episode than the one that we just did. Kind of preachy, especially with the Traveler, but it was I thought it was a good episode. And you really felt some danger when they zip through, and that fucking, it has one of the biggest assholes in Star Trek history in it.
Oh yeah, Kaczynski.
Yeah. He's a dick.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, it's a good episode. It is one that I'm more inclined to watch. You see Picard's mother in it.
Because they're all you know, not to ruin too much, but they start hallucinating and seeing things, not negative things, but that was actually a touching moment. I like that, but I think this is a really good episode. This is one of the more famous and well-known episodes too,
right?
So
thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Just stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.